Communications disruption can mean only one thing.
It's outrageous. I fear the Senate is powerless to resolve this crisis.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the special 2019 Snap UK election episode of CO Bibble's Babble Bubble. This is an apolitical podcast in which we will dedicate time and effort to going through the incredibly silly constituencies of the United Kingdom and saying which of them sound like Star Wars characters and where they belong in the Star Wars prequels. We received a number of recommendations and suggestions from our listeners, both here and abroad, to share with us what constituencies they find completely silly-sounding and ridiculous. We'll share a little bit of information about those constituencies, who their current MP was, where do they fall politically, and how maybe that shapes the character that we are creating to fit within the Star Wars prequels. I am your host, Nigel Featherbottom, doing a very terrible English accent for the purpose of this episode, which I may or may not hold on to for the remainder of this time. If you are a usual listener and wonder, where is our usual Texas host? Well, I'm afraid to say that he is too busy taking the days off eating barbecue and the breakfast taco. I've had tacos plenty of times before, but never for breakfast. Are you supposed to take the blood sausage and put it on a tortilla? I do not know. It sounds very curious to me indeed. You could certainly put a very large sliced tomato with some weird bacon on there and some very watery eggs that have absolutely no flavor and a little bit of baked beans. And if you put that on a corn tortilla, I imagine that must be a truly delightful way to have English breakfast on a Mexican flair. We've heard of Tex-Mex before, but really, how about English Mex? Yes, that is the perfect idea of a genre of food that I would very much like to try. Anyhow, I feel as if I've rambled upon the happenings of food well enough, and we shall begin this academic exercise in which we go through the activity previously described a few moments ago. I will go in alphabetical order of the names of these constituencies that have been presented to me here on paper. As a reminder, this episode is not sponsored by BBC, ITV, or Sky, or The Guardian, or any other publication, radio network, television station, or matter of pigeon associated with the glorious motherland of Britain. This is a fully independent discussion, and these thoughts are solely my own, me, Nigel Featherbottom. Number one, we have Basildon in Billericay, located in Essex. The current MP there is John Barron, who is a staunch Brexiter. Ever since prior to the vote, he had pushed it through, a proud member of the Tory party. But let's look at these names. Basildon in Billericay. Well, Basildon, where would a character named Basildon fit within the Star Wars prequels? This is how I picture it. Imagine a Twi'lek, a Twi'lek, if you will. You know, they are the ones who have the long leku or antenna-looking things hanging over their shoulders and necks. And Basildon would be found sitting in that crazy little shop on Tatooine, bargaining with Watto, the flying blue man, in his nappies, trying to argue the price for his P pieces necessary for his ship. Because like John Barron, who is it, wants to, a Brexiter who wants to exit the European Union, Basildon the Twi'lek is looking to exit Tatooine and go back to his home planet of Ryloth. Ryloth are proud, the Twi'leks of Ryloth are proud and independent people. And as we learn in utter pieces of Star Wars literature, not just in the prequels, but I'm going to go to the sequels for a moment here and point towards the marvelous book Resistance Reborn, which talks about how independent Ryloth is, choosing to be neither with the New Republic and later the Resistance, nor with the First Order. And how during the Clone Wars they are torn between the Republic and the Separatists for being a fiercely independent people. That is how Basildon, our Twi'lek character in Watto's shop, is seeing his need. I wonder if you can combine the word exit with Ryloth, like we have combined Britain with exit for Brexit. Brexit? Ryloxit? It doesn't work. Maybe it's Ryloth, making it sound a little more like an off to it, because we need to get off of the Republic train and into our own independence as proud Twi'leks. Our second silly named constituency is Bexleyheath and Crayford. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar of where Bexleyheath is, that's in the Greater London area, another staunch conservative stronghold, represented by David Evanet, who is the vice chairman of the Tories. Now, I realize Bexleyheath may not sound like something that belongs in Star Wars, but rather sounds like a character in Harry Potter. But as a proud Brit, as much as I appreciate the Harry Potter franchise, I must say that people often assume that that's really all we have to offer, wands and Hogwarts. But I say hogwash to Hogwarts. They're those of us attracted to other franchises too, and Bexleyheath is one of it. Now, imagine a slight respelling and splitting up the single word of Bexleyheath to Bexley space Heath. Now, who is Bexleyheath? Well, he doesn't have any lines in the prequels, this character who we're choosing to add in, but he is written about in the visual dictionary, we'll say. Bexleyheath is a human smuggler, and we are going to keep him in The Phantom Menace. And you will see Bexleyheath at the very end of the film during the Grand Parade, in which Boss Nass, that magnificent toad of a creature, stands on the steps and holds up that orb in front of all to see, with the Queen of the Naboo, Padme Amidala, nearby. C.O. Bibble, the man for whom this show has its name. But where is Bexleyheath? Well, he'll be to the left, looking wry, because Bexleyheath has been contracted by nefarious sources to steal that orb of peace, for it is incredibly valuable. You know, I actually do wonder what happened to that orb, you know, during the movie. Boss Nass holds it up and has his grand declaration, but we don't see where it goes from there. Perhaps it's taken to a museum on Theed, at which point our good friend Bexley would perhaps just wait to steal it straight from the museum. Or maybe he's going to steal it in transit from the truck. This is something that is very, very dark and serious indeed. Or does it go back to the Gungans? Is it a Gungan thing? Is it a bomba, like a bomba general? This is something which we must significantly chew on. If George Lucas or Dave Filoni, or Pablo Hidalgo are listening to this podcast now, I would like to know what happened to that orb. Was it indeed stolen by the truly horrific Bexley Heath? The third character we are adding to the Star Wars prequels is Bootle. Bootle, you say? Now that can't be a real place, but it is. Bootle is located in Merseyside in the northwest of England, represented by Peter Dowd, who, up until recently, was the Shadow Chief Secretary to the Treasurer and a proud member of the Labour Party. Now, I don't know how Labour leadership will make it through this recent election, so by the time this podcast is released, old Peter may have been stripped of his title along with everyone else, but he may have been able to hold on a bit longer, even as the regime in the Shadow Cabinet changes. But Bootle, let's try to combine the Treasury with a character named Bootle. Bootle is clearly some sort of alien species who can be found on Coruscant. I would be so bold to say Bootle is a brand new alien species. We're not going to call him a Rodian. We're not going to call him a Nemoidian. Nor will we call him an Athorian. Bootle is something brand new altogether. He's a proud man for a silly name like Bootle. He's a creature that is tall, perhaps having multiple arms, but slides around like a snake. And he is responsible for handling the finances of the Republic and being a middleman between the Republic and the banking clan and the Trade Federation. Perhaps Bootle we only see in the back corner of one scene, but he's referenced in conversation come Attack of the Clones, where we realize that Bootle was approached by the Separatists to join their cause, but being the proud man he is, the established creature, Bootle holds firm. Secondly, Bootle, I don't even know what secondly is Bootle. All of this is rather silly on its own, and we'll move to the next one. Hail Sewin in Rowley Regis, located in the West Midlands. This was a former Labour stronghold turned conservative in recent elections. Hail Sewin in Rowley Regis will not be characters in the prequels, but rather those are both two planets that Obi-Wan stumbles upon an Attack of the Clones when he is looking for Kamino, when he is taken into the library with Jocasta Nu, trying to find the missing planet. He says it should be right here, according to my contact Dex Jetster, but it is showing empty. Somewhere wedged between the Hausuin system and the Rowley Regis system. Neither of these planets are typically well populated. Perhaps there is a spaceport on Rowley Regis where there could be maybe a place for some Coruscant businesses to keep their things tucked away and away from prying eyes, such as the Treasury man Bootle, who we've previously discussed here. Number 5 is Jero, located in the northeast of England near Newcastle. This is a Labour stronghold. And the current person who's representing them as of this election is an LB GT Plus activist and a Royal Mail Councillor. A very noble profession, if you ask me. Protection of the mail and counselling it and telling it where to go. Unfortunately, a name like Jero in the eyes, J-A-R-R-O-W, in the eyes of a George Lucas and thing, sounds like the name of some Jedi that would be written about in the expanded universe / legends in some book that was published, oh, let's say 2004, 2005. Talking about the happenings of the Clone Wars, maybe he's a member of the Jedi Agricultural Corps, such as the ones who are discussed about in the Dark Lord book about Darth Vader that is no longer canon, written by James Luceno. Perhaps that is who Mr. Jarrow is. What that has to do with the Royal Mail, I'm afraid not, but I even think there could be a character in the Star Wars universe named Jarrow, so who am I to question it further? We have the longest name of places coming up in a single constituency that is being discussed in this list, and that's Normanton Pontefract in Castleford in West Yorkshire. This is a Labour hold represented by the MP Yvette Cooper, who was the Chief Secretary to the Treasury under Gordon Brown, the former Prime Minister who left that position following the failure of Labour to retain control in the election of 2010. That started off this decade, whose end we are rapidly approaching in these very trying times. But Pontefract, who could Pontefract be within the Star Wars prequels universe? Well, given that Yvette Cooper was Secretary to the Treasury under Gordon Brown, who left the Prime Ministership in a bit of a disgrace for losing the tremendous election to David Cameron, perhaps we could say that Pontefract is some character who was working alongside Chancellor Vinnis Velorum. Maybe we could put this character in the Phantom Menace, trolling around the halls of the Senate chambers. Maybe the first time we meet Vinnis Velorum in that film, when he walks up to the Naboo delegation with Queen Amidala and Captain Panaka in the Jedi, there is old Pontefract following behind, always the opportunist. Does Pontefract get replaced by the creature Bootle, who we have described in hints? Perhaps it is a direct succession. Maybe they are partners. I don't like to imagine it is direct succession, for Bootle doesn't seem to be a partisan character to me, and I would not want to ascribe Bootle's rise to significance to the political happenings of Sheev Palpatine, a.k.a. the treacherous and dark Lord Sidious. Something to consider. Our next constituency is Old Bexley in Sidcup, yet another in Greater London. This is a conservative stronghold. In the area we'll talk about of Bexley is formerly Bexley Heath. Now Bexley, Old Bexley, where would a character named Old Bexley fit within these three films that we so adore? And I have chewed on it long and hard because this personally is the name I was most drawn to. I'm thinking maybe I'll buy a new spaniel as we enter 2020 and I'll name him Bexley. A nice English spaniel. And as he gets old with age, I will call him Old Bexley. Very much like this constituency. And I will buy a cat and name him Sidcup. But alas, in the Star Wars universe, there are no dogs. But there are cats. But that's in the Star Wars Rebels, which we aren't talking about. Loath cats. There could be a loath cat named Sidcup. Old Bexley could be a loath wolf. But no, no, no. Bexley here is a droid, and it is a phonetic pronunciation. So presently, Bexley is spelt B-E-X, L-E-Y. But in this situation, in the universe of the Star Wars prequels, it will be spelled B-3-X-L-E-E. Bexley. B-3-Xley. Otherwise known in B-3-Xley will be a droid of one of the Jedi, who has been with that Jedi Master ever since they were a Padawan. And that Jedi is Ki Arimundi, the moon-faced gentleman with a long, long beard, who draws on and on, who on this podcast in the past has been compared to the American football commentator Alexi Lalas for his boringness. But Ki Arimundi is an old man, and as such, he should have an old droid, or B-3-Xley, otherwise known as Old Bexley. And we would see Bexley on my Gito in Revenge of the Sith when Master Ki gets shot down by his treacherous clone troopers, leaving this little droid to watch on in horror. Now, what would Bexley look like? Well, he wouldn't be an R2 unit, otherwise, rather than being B3-Xley, he would be R2-Xley, which is a fine name, which he could be R2-Xley, and perhaps Ki Arimundi just can't read, and R2 gets turned into B3. But given that the naming is very similar, R2, B3, we have a letter and a number, then perhaps it would be similar. It certainly would be a little droid like that, not a protocol droid by any stretch. One with a little set of wheels and a domed cap. But perhaps little Bexley is a bit long in the tooth, more worn down, his paint is chipped. And rather than having that sort of singular eye, maybe he has two eyes, but one is looking a little weary and is beginning to droop off his helmet and faceplate. It's very sad to see what's happened to old Bexley, as he has seen the worst of war. And in the film, unfortunately, we don't know what happens to him, because after the stormtroopers shoot down the Jedi Master, their blasters and rifles point to the droid before it fades off to the next character to be executed in Order 66. Does Bexley survive? Do the clone troopers have a love of heart and realize that this little character has been around the galaxy too long to be harshly struck down? That perhaps with his Jedi Master far behind him, old Bexley will get the retirement that he deserves? That he can go on to some beach and find a younger droid with whom he can parlay in romantic readings of droid poetry? Going as such, beep boop, bop beep, chirreep, chirreep, beep, boop, beep, chirreep, chiroo, beep, boop, boop. Lord Byron himself could not have written a more dramatic and heartwarming piece of poetry. It's truly magical. I like to picture that that's what happened to old Bexley. It's really what he deserved. We still have a few more of these left, so I will move on past my newfound favorite Star Wars character that doesn't exist to go to Stevenage, located in Hertfordshire in East Britain. Now, Stevenage is represented by a Brexit supporter, Stephen McPartland, who is indeed a Conservative MP. Stevenage. Now, I believe that given that in the Clone Wars, there is a character named Savage, even though it is spelled savage, that I think Stefanage should be pronounced Stefanage. And Stefanage certainly sounds like a very dramatic and evil name. So out of all the characters I've introduced here, I would like to introduce one that I think will play a larger role than any of the others thus far, and that is Stefanage. He's not just somebody in the background who is named in the visual dictionary, nor a hapless AIDS droid watching his master get mercilessly gunned down like trout by a fishing gun. But Stefanage is a separatist general. He wields lightsabers, not unlike General Grievous, but he is not in touch with the Force. Stefanage is a Zabrak with points on his head. When we're first introduced to him in Revenge of the Sith, we see the back and assume, who could this be? Is it Darth Maul? Is it yet another Knight's brother? But no. It is simply Stefanage, a bounty hunter who killed great Jedi Master Yaril Poof and has stolen his lightsaber and has corrupted the Kyber crystal to the point of turning it red. Stefanage, who is responsible for aiding General Grievous in capturing Chancellor Palpatine. Stefanage, who accompanied the Separatist Council off of Utapau onto Mustafar. Stefanage, who gave the great last fight against Anakin Skywalker. Stefanage, who dies in the final transformation of Lord Vader, along with the other leaders of the Separatists, prior to Vader's duel with Obi-Wan. Our next constituency on that somber note is Truro and Falmouth. In this instance, I will name both of these characters in Star Wars. Truro is an Ithorian. Falmouth is a Nitko. And they are traitors. Travelers across the stars who make it to that sports bar in Coruscant that Obi-Wan and Anakin chase Zam Wessel into, where Obi-Wan tells that little fella to stop selling death sticks and to rethink his life. We see Truro and Falmouth get pushed out of the way by Sam Wessel on the run, as Obi-Wan and Anakin recognize her in the process. Yes, for they were not only business partners, Truro and Falmouth, but they were life partners in all things romantic. It is a tragedy that Truro the Ithorian breaks his arm in the process of being pushed out of the way in Attack of the Clones, for which we are terribly sorry to have brought that fate onto him. The last on my list is Yeovil, Y-E-O-V-I-L. It's in Somerset. A former Lib Dems, Liberal Democrats, spot turned conservative during the elections in 2015 and have remained as such. Yeovil is just one of the patrons of Dex Jester's Diner. A Weasley-looking character. Perhaps one could even say they are a Lasat. Turning out that the character who we are introduced to in the TV show Star Wars Rebels is not the first of the Lasat, but rather it is Yeovil sitting there, sipping his galactic calf, eating his Coruscant pancakes, and where it looks most desirable. Perhaps in a Jar Jar-like fashion, he passes some gas, making for an interruption in Obi-Wan and Dex Jetster's conversation, at which point they look up and pause and smirk before Yeovil ducks his head away in embarrassment. Two of our listeners and supporters of Seal Bibble's Babble Bubble have also given their own suggestions of silly names in the United Kingdom constituency collection for Parliament that could be characters in Star Wars. Dr. Austin Matthews suggested the Cotswolds. The Cotswolds are a truly lovely place, home to Cheltenham and GCHQ, and other pretty little houses and beautiful churches and rolling hills. It is idyllic in every single sense. It is a popular tourist destination for people in Britain to travel to, if not so much people from the outside, such as the occasional American who is looking to go somewhere outside the hustle and bustle of London. But the Cotswolds as a Star Wars character. I imagine the Cotswolds to be a name of a devious criminal organization. That in The Phantom Menace, when they, by our heroes, are escaping Naboo in their starcraft, when Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, Padme Amidala, Captain Banaka and company, Rick Ole, are fleeing and have to choose where to stop to get their hyperdrive repaired, they are presented not only with the option of Tatooine, but another planet, one that is in the Cotswolds space. When they consider where they should go, Tatooine or the Cotswolds, it is Obi-Wan who says, "You cannot take Her Royal Highness to the Cotswolds. The Cotswolds are gangsters, far more dangerous than the huts. For though it may be beautiful, dangerous things happen in the Cotswolds, and Cotswold space is very unfriendly to the Jedi, and I would not want to be caught there, dead or alive." So they go to Tatooine. Thank you, Dr. Matthews, for that fine suggestion. Lastly, we have the suggestion of Cockfosters. Now, Cockfosters has not been a constituency in Parliament, if not ever, then since not at least the 1980s, at which point, realizing how preposterously silly their name was, that they rolled into a far more boring named constituency there in London, whose name I am pulling up now. It is so dull, I have even forgotten about it since I remembered it in this moment. Enfield Southgate. I'm terribly sorry, but there's no room for Enfield Southgate in the Star Wars prequels. Unless it's the South Gate of Theed, some city in the Enfield neighborhood. I'm sorry, Nikki Kumar from Imperial Senate Podcast. It's an excellent suggestion with Cockfosters, but it doesn't fit in within this paradigm we are operating. However, I will go ahead and play your game and say, where does Cockfosters fit into the Star Wars universe? And I will say that Cockfosters is the nickname that the other Jedi had for Ki Adi Mundi, because he keeps talking and talking and talking throughout the whole damn films when nobody asked him to, that people just said, "You need to foster a cock," by which I mean a rooster, "in your mouth to be quiet. So just chew this chicken and just sit in that corner and just be yourself. You and old Bexley hang out over there for the rest of the franchise. You've treated that droid poorly, you cock foster, so get out of there." Anyhow, maybe that's cheating because it's not a new character, it's just a nickname. But then again, Cockfosters is not a constituency, it's just a stop on the London tube And it's a neighborhood. But I'm looking at the clock and we are well past our time here, so thank you so much for joining us on C.O. Bibble's Babble Bubble. I am terribly sorry your normal host could not be here, but thankfully, for those of you who have found listening to my horrid English accent painful beyond reprieve, I will likely not be invited back onto the show. So thank you for joining this special English constituency snap election 2019 BBC, not BBC, world news report of C.O. Bibble's Babble Bubble.